On the holy mount stands a city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. Among those who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. For the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord records as he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Father God, give us wisdom now as we turn to this word. Help us to understand it well to your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. A preacher once asked a group of children, what is brown, has a bushy tail, likes to climb trees and eat nuts? And a little boy hesitantly raised his hand and said, well, I know you want me to say Jesus, but I think it's a squirrel. And when I asked you earlier, pay attention to who is born there, you may have been thinking, well, the answer is going to be Jesus. But Jesus is not the answer to the question. Jesus is an extremely important part of this psalm, but the psalm does not refer to his birth. This psalm actually refers to the birth of many people, and it emphasizes where they are born. On the screen, I've highlighted a point declared three times in the psalm. In verse 4, we read, this one was born there. In verse 5, we read, this one and that one were born in her. And in verse 6, we read again, this one was born there. Not just one person is referred to in those statements. Many people are. And there is a place referred to in those statements. This psalm is about many people being born in a specific place. And therefore, the two points of my sermon are the following: the place of birth and the people who are born there. The place and the people. That will be the focus. We're going to start with the place because the psalm starts with the place of birth. Listen again to the first three verses. On the holy mount stands a city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. The city being referred to in these verses is Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem was referred to many ways. In these verses, it's called the Holy Mount and Zion and the City of God. These verses tell us that God founded the city. In the Hebrew language, the first word of the psalm is the word founded. Founded it was by God. He founded it on the holy mountain. There's no other city that has ever been or ever will be spoken of in that way. This city is holy because it comes from God and it is for God. Jerusalem is the place he dwells. Jerusalem is the place of his throne. That is what the Ark of the Covenant symbolized. The Ark of the Covenant was placed in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, in Jerusalem. And on the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, God's throne. Jerusalem is the city of God, where God dwells with his people, the people he established from Abraham and then from Jacob. Notice that verse 2 says, God loves the gates of Zion. Think with me about why God loves the gates of his city. Why would God focus on that part of his city? Well, think about what gates do. It is through the gates people enter a city. And it is by the gates that people are protected in the city. The gates welcome people who the king wants to welcome. The people are allowed to come in through the gates and find rest and peace and protection in the city. And the gates also exclude people who are enemies of the king, keeping the city safe, protected. So the gates are a key part of the city. Without gates, the city would not be both welcoming and secure. Without gates, there would be no joy, no peace, no security. Now, concerning the city of Jerusalem and the temple that was in Jerusalem, there are two important truths we learn in the New Testament. First, I want to show you a truth about the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us this. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. What I want you to see here is that a physical temple is no longer needed because we, the people of God, are God's temple. The point of the temple has always been God dwelling with his people so his people can worship him, find rest in him, and be protected by him. The temple in Jerusalem was God's dwelling place, and now we, the people of God, are his dwelling place, which is amazing to think about. It's a significant difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament, if you wanted to offer a sacrifice to God, if you wanted to meet with God, you went to the temple because that's where God dwelt. Now that Christ has come, now that the work of Jesus' first advent has been accomplished, all Christians have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Therefore, we don't have to go to one temple in one city to meet with him. Today, believers all over the world can gather together in local congregations like this with God in their midst, with God, with us. With that truth about the temple understood, listen now to a wonderful New Testament passage about Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 3 say, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" This passage speaks of another Jerusalem, a Jerusalem in heaven. In that place, the souls of Christians are who have already died. And listen to this, the earthly Jerusalem has always been just a shadow, a small copy of that heavenly Jerusalem. And this passage tells us that someday the heavenly Jerusalem will be brought to this earth. That will happen at the second advent of Jesus. And then all of God's people from all time periods will be fully with God in that Jerusalem. God's throne will then literally be on the earth. God will be with us and we will see him face to face. That is the true Jerusalem, the true city of God. And concerning that heavenly Jerusalem that Christ will bring to this earth at his second advent, I'll read one more passage. Revelation 21, starting with verse 22 says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God and the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." There is no temple in the heavenly Jerusalem because there God is fully present with all of his people. The whole city is the Holy of Holies. When that heavenly Jerusalem is brought to this earth, its gates will never have to be shut because at the second advent of Jesus, when that heavenly Jerusalem is brought to this earth, all of the enemies of God will be locked away in hell forever. And therefore, there will no longer be danger. There will be no night. Nothing unclean will ever enter that city because there will be nothing unclean. There will be no fear, no dark alleys, and no dark rooms where evil plans are made and carried out. No danger anywhere in the city or around the city. It's awesome to think about that future. And it's ours in Christ. And Psalm 87 ultimately points to that glorious city. That is clear because of the people, the psalm says, are born there. That's the emphasis, the next emphasis of the psalm. The people who are born there. The the people are born in Jerusalem. I'm going to add verse 5 to the screen. Verse 5 of Psalm 87 says, "And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her." Now let me ask you a question. Who was born in the Old Testament Jerusalem? Answer, the Jewish people were born there in the Old Testament Jerusalem. But this psalm is not talking about the Jewish people. I'll show you. Look with me now at the people who are born there. That's the next point. We learn who they are in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Among those you know me, who know me, I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there," they say. So do you know who this verse is referring to? It's referring to nations that were enemies of God. This verse is saying people who are part of the enemies of God were born in her, in Jerusalem. I'll quickly tell you about the places mentioned. Rahab refers to Egypt. We know that from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7, which I've added to the screen. God called Egypt Rahab, and Egypt, of course, was a longtime enemy of God. And Babylon is a place we've learned a lot about. Babylon is the nation that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. The Philistines from Philistia are mentioned often as battling against David and the people of God. You might remember Goliath was a Philistine. Tyre was a city that contained wickedness and idolatry. It's often spoken of against by the prophets. Ezekiel speaks against Tyre because Tyre laughed at the fall of Jerusalem. And Cush often formed an alliance with Egypt. So this verse is saying people who are part of the enemies of God are born in her, in Jerusalem. Therefore, this psalm is not about the earthly Jerusalem. It's about the heavenly Jerusalem. It's about all the Gentiles being born there. This psalm is about my birth because I'm a Gentile Christian, and if you're a Gentile Christian, it's about your birth. If you remember, last week we learned from Psalm 86 that the key verse in that psalm, the center verse, is about the Gentile nations. Let me just remind you of Psalm 86. I'm putting on the screen a picture of it. I know you cannot read all the words, but I simply want to remind you that the psalm begins with 7 verses in which David lifts up this personal prayer, requesting God to save him because he was in danger. And the psalm ends with another 7 verses in which David lifts up that personal prayer. The center verses of the psalm are different. They give praise to God, and in the very center verse, verse 9, David says that all the nations will worship God. The center verse points to the reality that people from all nations will be saved. And I say that, I remind us of that, to say this. Psalm 87 expands on verse 9 of Psalm 86. What was mentioned in Psalm 86, verse 9, is now focused on in Psalm 87. Psalm 87 lists just a few distinct nations, nations that were around the earthly Jerusalem, nations that were enemies of God to represent all Gentile nations. I also will remind you that in book 3 of the Psalms, the book we're in, we've been seeing a lot of Psalms about Israel being attacked, Israel and Judah being attacked by the nations. We've seen some very sad psalms about the enemies destroying the people of God. That's what makes Psalms 86 and 87 more glorious. Psalms 86 and 87 show us the amazing mercy and grace of God extended to all the nations, even though the nations are enemies of God. And dear friends, if you are a Gentile Christian, this psalm is about you. It's about your birth. You are an enemy that has been born in Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what the psalm is about, all Gentiles being born in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now that raises a question, doesn't it? Namely, what does it mean to be born in Jerusalem? And most of you listening were born here in America. I know that some of you were born in other nations. We got people who were born in the Netherlands. We've got some members born from Mexico. I know that Mesfin sometimes live streams our services. Mesfin, Tigis, Dan, they're born in Ethiopia. The psalmist saying we're all born in the heavenly Jerusalem. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, the answer is spiritual birth. Psalm 87 is not speaking of physical birth. It's speaking of spiritual birth. It's speaking of being born again. The term born again is a term Jesus used when talking with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Early in Jesus' ministry, Nicodemus realized Jesus is different, for there had never been a man who could do all the miracles he was doing. So Nicodemus wanted to know more about Jesus. Nicodemus was wise. He sought Jesus out. He listened. And we know that by the time Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus became a believer. We know that because he supplied the spices for his burial. A conversation Nicodemus had with Jesus is recorded in John chapter 3. In that conversation, Jesus surprised Nicodemus with these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When Nicodemus heard those words, he did not understand. He thought Jesus was speaking of physical birth. Starting in verse 4, we read, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The answer Jesus gave Nicodemus might confuse us. We might wonder, what's the water and the Spirit all about? But the answer is one Nicodemus should have understood. Listen to verse 9 and 10. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things?" As a teacher, a Pharisee, Nicodemus should have understood, because Jesus was bringing to mind Old Testament prophecies. I'm going to read you one of the prophecies I believe Jesus is referring to. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we read this, "I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land." Let me just pause there. Notice this passage is about all the nations, just like Psalm 87 is. "I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Notice that prophecy mentions both water and Spirit, just like Jesus does in his answer to Nicodemus. In the Old Testament, there were water rituals for purification, and water rituals were also used to symbolize the anointing of the Spirit. And today, of course, water is used for baptism. We saw that this morning. Water has always been associated with cleansing, with purification, with God's presence, with His Spirit, His anointing. And now we know that the water of baptism is a sign that we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. So this prophecy promises a salvation that cleanses us of our sins and gives us a new heart of obedience through the Spirit of God. So going back to John 3, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, who surely thought of himself as righteous, he was saying, Nicodemus, you need to repent. You need to be cleansed. You need to be washed. And you also need the Spirit that I will send to transform you. You need both forgiveness and transformation. You need to become a child of God. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. Born of the Spirit. And that's the birth Psalm 87 is speaking of. Psalm 87 is saying people from all nations will be born again. And Psalm 87 beautifully speaks of such people as natural born citizens of Jerusalem. The psalm says that God himself records us as citizens of his kingdom. Verse 6, the Lord records as he registers the peoples. This one was born there. When you were born again, you were born a natural city, a natural citizen of God's city, Jerusalem. God is so gracious, so wonderful. He takes we who are by nature his enemies, and he makes us his children. He makes us full citizens of his kingdom. On this earth, Christians are from different nations, but God unites us together. He calls all of us, Gentiles from every nation and Jews as well, he calls all of us natural-born citizens of his kingdom. So in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the true Jerusalem, you do not find Jews and Gentiles warring against each other. And in the heavenly Jerusalem, you do not find Gentiles from different nations warring against each other. In the heavenly Jerusalem, you find one people, one nation, God's nation. All the people in heavenly Jerusalem are equally natural-born citizens of the city. I want to read to you a New Testament passage that summarizes perfectly what Psalm 87 is all about. The passage I'm going to read was written to Gentile Christians. Most of you here, probably all of you here, are Gentile Christians. So listen to this passage. Let this word of God speak to you. Let it reveal to you what Christ has done for you. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, let this passage speak to you. Let it get you excited about who you are, what your future is. This is the word of God to you Christians. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh of hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That was your history, all of you. That used to be you. But he goes on, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, Jew and Gentile, so making peace. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came in and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." That's a beautiful passage about peace, Jews and Gentiles from all nations enjoy. It's a passage that we are being built into one city of peace, perfect peace. We are the Jerusalem. We are the church. That's what Psalm 87 is about. Today, I ask you to realize that's what the peace of Christmas is about. The peace of Christmas is peace with God and peace with one another through God, through Christ. If you are a Christian, that peace is yours. It's yours right now, will be yours forever. There's not a war or political divide in this world or election chaos. There's nothing in this world that can take that peace away from us. Right now, this very day, we have peace with Jews and Gentiles from all over the world. For we are natural-born citizens of one city, the heavenly Jerusalem. Today I ask you to realize Jesus was born to bring about this great reality. To emphasize what Psalm 87 is declaring, connect it to Christmas. I'm going to make several statements. Please just listen and contemplate what Christ has done for you. Know what he's done for you and be glad. Dear friends, Jesus was born that we might be born again. Jesus was born in our fallen world that we might be born in his city of peace. Jesus was born to be treated like a sinner, that we might be born and received as his brothers and sisters, heirs along with him. Jesus was born to be beaten, bruised, and killed in the historical Jerusalem, that we might be born in the city where there is no death. Therefore, Psalm 87 should lead to praises, to singing, to dancing, to gladness. Look at how the psalm ends, the last verse. Singers and dancers alike say, all my springs are in you. Great verse of praise, a verse of celebration, a verse of confidence, a verse of sure hope. That is how you can and should respond to Psalm 87 if you are a Christian. Dear Christians, the future of our world and the future of our nation, America, it might be bleak. It might be very bleak. It might be dark. But our future as Christians, as the people of God, is full of sure hope. Our future is bright. It is full of light. It is secure. Forget about the shutdowns and the coronavirus and the wars and the political divide, and focus your minds and your hearts on what is yours in Christ, and rejoice. Jesus was born so that we might be natural-born citizens of Jerusalem, along with Jews and Gentiles from all nations. Now, if you are not yet a Christian, I hope all this truth encourages you to become one. Become a Christian right now. Be born again right now. Repent and place your faith in Jesus. Don't remain outside of the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem. Don't be shut outside the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem forever and ever. Turn to Christ, who is born, that you might be born again. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God, thank you for this psalm that points to all that you've done for us through Christ, that points to our spiritual birth, our birth into your city, the holy city, Jerusalem. Father, we thank you for our sure future. We thank you for the peace we enjoy with you, the peace we enjoy with people from all over this world. We thank you for the city we will enjoy, that we even enjoy now as we gather together. May you always be glorified. May our mouths, our minds, our hearts always be full of praises to you. May we sing, may we celebrate, may we dance before you, our King, our God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to celebrate by singing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. This great Christmas hymn ends by speaking of the nations. Let's sing it together. Let's stand and sing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.